With all of our hearts, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
We're not committed to anything but you.
Amen.
We give you this time today. We give you ourselves. We give you our minds and our wills and our hearts. Not so that you can design them as we will, but it's so that you can cause us to think and to form and to react and to act like you would.
Yes.
Like you would, Lord. That we can give ourselves to your work, not try to ask that you give yourself to ours.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord. That we remember others and we think of others. That a life is not here for a selfish, it's not a selfish act by you. It's a gift to others. Our life is a gift to others. We live like that and we think like that.
Yes.
Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you did that for us. You obeyed the will of the Father for us. Now teach us your ways.
Yes.
Teach us your ways. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the people that have considered you enough to come. Now, bless them. Change them. And we'll all give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise your Lord. All right. Okay, a couple of things before we start today. Today is, if I understand correctly, is Bill's birthday. Well, not today. It was a few years ago. But they're celebrating it today. How about that? Never could figure out how they could call it somebody's birthday when I'm still seeing them full grown. So I know we're celebrating his birthday today. Is that correct? So y'all bug him, spank him, whatever you need, bless, buy his dinner, whatever you need to do to give him honor today. Not right now. That's later.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Just a couple of words so that we don't forget. Tomorrow is an anniversary of something that I preached about. Y'all know what that is? Our God is against their God. It's our God against their God, and our God's bigger than theirs. Now, that's so that we'll stay at peace, but it's not so that we'll forget.
That's right.
I am just getting more and more fed up with soft people.
Yes.
Because soft people forget big things. God's a forgiving God. He's the only one that has the right to forgive. We have the right to turn it over to Him so He can handle it.
Yes.
But we don't have the right to forgive.
Amen.
We've studied that before, remember?
Yep.
I proved it to you in the Bible that we have no right to forgive. We can only turn it over to God.
Right.
He forgives us. Isn't that what the Bible says? He doesn't say anything about we forgiving we. I can't forgive me. That's psychology when you start saying forgive yourself. You don't have the right to do that. Yourself will hold you accountable for way past accountability.
Amen.
You don't need that. You don't need you to try to handle things like that. Now, there's a couple other things you need to remember. Our news media is making a blitz right now. Of course, Bush is saying he's doing it, but all he's doing is reminding us of facts, mostly backed by Democrats. The news media is making a blitz right now, trying to say, number one, right now the number one thing is that Iraq didn't have anything to do with the war against terrorism, and you got to be a blooming idiot to believe that. And if you believe it, I'll forgive you, but I will not allow it. Not in my presence. We're going to argue.
That's right.
We're going to argue.
That's right.
There is a war, an enemy against us.
That's right.
The enemy wants to kill Jewish people, eliminate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And then right after that, they want to eliminate all Christians.
That's
right. If you fall in either one of those categories, you need to get mad. I don't care what you call them, and I don't care who's propagating the fact that we need to not be so hard on. We need to be harder on.
Yes.
We need to take a hard stand. The fact of the matter is that if we don't take that stand, we will fight them here.
That's right.
We will fight them there and win, or we will fight them here.
That's right.
Because they don't intend to give up. Unlike Americans, they want to get soft and give up.
Yeah.
But we're fighting a stronger enemy than us, so we need to get stronger. Just made me mad this morning. I heard a news commentator on television this morning that said that we have brought this on ourselves being hard. We get hard retaliation. And there was one wise man there that said, well, what about 9/11? What were we doing before that? That makes sense?
Yes.
Let's don't forget.
Amen.
Let's don't get teary-eyed. Tears never changes anything.
Nope.
Let's get firm. Let's remember that there will be another 9/11 if we don't take aggressive action in our prayers and our belief systems. Thank you, Richard. We have to take a hard stand firm in our beliefs so that we pray the right direction. They are praying to their God that all Christians will bow to them. They believe the only successful way to get to their heaven is to die, and they're willing to do it. Christians kind of believe the same thing, but they're not willing to do it.
That's right.
We need to get as convicted about our beliefs and that they are the enemy. Let's don't be soft on Islam.
That's right.
I don't care what it started out to be, what it is now is an enemy.
That's right.
We are not going to be in World War III. We already are in World War III.
Right.
It's not coming. It's already here. And if you don't want to be one of the fighters, then you need to be one of the casualties and write on there, I'm dead already.
Yeah, that's right.
At least a fighter is trying not to die. He's trying to take somebody else and give them life also.
Right.
It's part of the study we're doing with Joseph. Joseph had to take a lot of stands. We've studied those stands so that he could set others free, to give them life. You have freedom and life right now because Jesus died.
That's right.
It's nice to have tears. It's nice to get soft about that. But you need to remember, He died.
That's right.
He died. And He died for something. Now, according to that, we've already won. But we have other people to worry about.
Yes.
Just because you've already won doesn't mean the battle's over.
That's right.
There's other people that can be destroyed. All right. If I've stepped on your political viewpoints, well, change yours, please. Pray about it. Pray about it. Don't just believe me. You watch. God will tell you the same thing.
Amen.
We're entitled to your opinion.
That's right. Well, I was raised under this. My dad said, I'm going to check your intelligence. I'm going to say something. If you agree with it, you're intelligent. So... I don't use that phrase because I didn't always think he was right. But you need to remember, just please, I don't care what the rhetoric is. I don't care what's on television. If you want to know lies, go to television.
Yep.
The truth of the matter is there is a force out there called Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You can call it radical. You can call it fascist. You can call it anything you want to. There's a force out there called Islam that is totally against your God. And it ought to make you mad.
That's right.
It ought to make you mad. Y'all just get ready to, you ought to just sicken you anytime Islam is presented in your face. Because it's totally against life. It's totally against women. It's totally against freedom.
That's right.
It's totally against the only one and true God. I have no place for it. No place. I'll give no place for it. I'm a theocrat. Do you understand that? Not theoscrat. I don't have any room for any other God but mine.
That's right.
See, it's bad for me to say that, but it's all right for them to say that. Why don't we grow up?
Amen.
Why don't we grow up? They're going to tell you that their God is the only one. Well, what are you going to say?
My God.
And you're going to make room for them because you're tolerant?
No.
I'm not tolerant. I know my God. He doesn't promise me 72 virgins if I die.
That's right.
That's a lie.
Yes.
All right, let's start today. Father, we want to get into your word now, and we want to hear from you.
Yes.
We want you to change our hearts, our vision, our hearing, so that it agrees with yours. We're not going to bring you down to our level. You're going to bring us up to yours.
Amen.
We thank you for that, and the study of this word will cause it. By your Spirit, we will grow today. In Jesus' name, everybody agrees, says amen.
Amen.
All right. The title of this series is God's Will is a Trip. Now, if you want to get technical, today is God's Will Overcomes Part 7B. I don't think you want to know that. That's for history. Today's message will be Salvation and Forgiveness Began. We want to bring up what we've already studied. We want to place it in our minds again. I told you last week that the reading of Genesis, and that's where we're going, Genesis chapter 50, verse 19 through 21, the reading of that we've been doing for 7, 8 weeks. And last Sunday, as I read those last 8 chapters, God spoke to me and said, we need to study every word in those last 8 chapters because they're too important. Don't miss a word. That's what he said. And then he said, you've missed the meaning of Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. So I'm going to read that to you. Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Yeah, let's stand. We need to revere God's word. Sorry about that. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Or I would say, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now while you've got that fresh in your mind, God spoke to me and said, you thought Joseph said that, and I've been saying it to you forever. This is me speaking, and this is what I want you to say to them. God says, you meant it for bad, I meant it for good, because I want to save everybody alive. I don't want to get into why the alive was on there, but that's Old Testament. Let's stay in the New Testament. I want to save everybody. That's what God says. I want to invite you to dinner. I want to speak softly to you, and I want to care for you. Now, that's a good way to start out thinking about God this morning, right? All right, you all be seated. Let's continue our review. We've said over and over, we'll say it again, God has a will for everybody, or a call for everybody, or a job for everybody, both corporately and individually.
That's right.
It's been revealed, or it's being revealed. We've also seen that God's plan comes with a requirement on your part. Number one, a full belief that it is God. Number two, a knowing that if God said it, it will happen. Number three, if God put it in us, He will carry it out. Number four, it is His plan. He must make it happen. And number five, all we do is believe and obey. Number five, all we do is believe and obey. All right, the topics we've covered. A, the plan for God to use Joseph did not begin with Joseph. It began generations before, placing the right people at the right place at the right time. God is good.
Amen.
B, there are specific preludes to our call. There are specific preludes in people, places, circumstances. Just remember, I've always told you, if you'll tell me your history, I'll tell you your future. I'll tell you your future. I'll tell you what your call is if you'll tell me your history. Why? Because I do believe that God's in control.
Amen.
I believe your steps have been ordered, not just will be ordered. And that's why we're studying Joseph. I didn't say that every good step was ordered by God. I said every step you've ever walked has been ordered by God, and it's for your good, and it's for your good to save people alive. Your people. C, do not assume that because we know it is God, it'll be easy. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, and without some trials, you don't need faith. D, all God needs is a willing heart to change the world. He doesn't need your brains. Doesn't need your talent, your singing talent, your thinking talent, your walking, talking talent. He doesn't need that. He just needs a willing heart.
Yeah,
he can use that. E, there's always a provision to keep God's will alive. R, there's always a Reuben. F, there's always a tempter that's trying to steal God's will and your life.
Yes.
R, there's always a master's wife.
Yes.
G, when you're out of control and in God's control or will, God will provide for you according to His riches and power. And H, when we repent, the salvation process begins. Don't forget this one. When we repent. Well, let me remind you again. What is repentance?
Turning away.
It requires... That's exactly right. But let me tell you what it requires. It requires you understanding that you did wrong, sorry that you did wrong, and so sorry you won't do it again.
Amen.
Anything else is not repentance.
Amen.
You're just going through some kind of motion that will not accomplish anything in your life. You can confess to a man. You can say all kinds of sayings. You can do all kinds of sacrifices. You can do all kinds of contortions. You can stand on your head for a year. None of it will make any difference. It is something that is caused by the Holy Spirit, and it will have that effect. You will recognize that you did something wrong. You will be sorry about it, and you won't do it again. Otherwise, it's not repentance. Now, what did I say? When we repent, salvation process begins. What did I just say? You'll never get saved by signing a card, speaking a chant, handling some kind of jewelry, doing some kind of sacrifices, doing some kind of works. It's not going to save you, ever. That's why we have so many people going to so many churches that have so little salvation. Because no preacher has enough guts to say you can't do it again. They'd rather say you can do it as many times as you want and just ask for forgiveness and everything's okay. You'll not find that in the Bible. You'll not find it. That's a lie of man. What'd you say, Stan? I said it takes some guts to be a Christian. That's what I said. You can't be a feather floating in the air going with whatever wind of doctrine. Doctrine is what you feel, too. Most people operate on self-doctrine. It's whatever you feel, it's whatever I do. Sorry. We're here to minister to others. Anybody that was paying attention to anything a while ago, Amanda got a little upset because a little teeny tiny thing moving around. And she upset everything because she had a feeling. And I said, what was that about? That was you owe something to other people. Settle down. Suck it up would be another way. What if it bites me? It bites you. You've got a job to do. Do it. Stan, you're on a rant this morning. Yes, sir, I am. I'm sick and tired of soft people. Do you know how many times I suck it up for you? You guys need to learn to suck it up for some other people.
Yes.
Just suck it up. All right, today, salvation and forgiveness begins. Remember, we ended with repentance and salvation. Now we're going to see. Do you understand that you need to be able to see salvation in people's lives, in your life? It's not enough to say I'm saved. Somebody has to see it. The hardest part to teach in church is that you need to cause others to be saved by your actions.
Yes.
Oh, we don't like that, do we? That puts us on the spot. Yes. Jesus got on the spot for you. You need to get on it for Him.
Yes.
All right. I want to pick up one scripture from last week. Genesis chapter 40, or actually two scriptures. Genesis chapter 42, verse 21 and 22. This is what basically in 24 hours changed these boys' lives, these sons' lives. Verse 21, then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother. When's the last time you ever said, I am truly guilty? I did it. I'm not going to blame anybody else. Now watch else what's said. Watch what else is said. We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore this distress has come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, did I not speak to you, saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of us. So we see one more aspect to repentance. We recognize we did it. We're sorry we did it. We acknowledge that we deserve death. How many of you go before God right now and say, I deserve to die for what I did? Well, you have to. Part of repentance is that you die so that he might live. right? That means your importance must go away. Your pain must go away. It must get out of your sight so that God can do His thing. Now, I said last week, and I'm going to say again, there are some Christians that live in this thing right here, and we can't live here. That is that I'm going to die because I did something. That is not part of the salvation package. You admitting you deserve to die is you acknowledging that I don't have to because He did is the rest of it.
Yes.
We can't live every day expecting bad things to happen because we've been bad people. Our Christians would always have bad things.
That's right.
And we don't expect that. But we have to feel like when we go in front of God, we have to know that we deserve death. That's what we deserve. But I don't expect to die except to Him. All right, is that clear or did I muddy everything up? All right, let's go on. Turn to Genesis chapter 43, verse 15. Everybody got a Bible? We can find one if you don't. Genesis chapter 43, verse 15. We're going to just review a couple of verses and then keep moving. So the men took that present and Benjamin. Remember, they brought a present to Joseph. Because they didn't know it was Joseph. And they took double money in their hand and arose and went down to Egypt. And they stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin, who was Benjamin?
His
blood brother. He was who was Joseph's mother?
Rachel.
And Benjamin's mother?
Rachel.
Okay. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my home and slaughter an animal and make ready. For these men will dine with me at noon." Is that what they deserved? Is that what you'd give them? That's a good question, yes. If somebody persecuted you, sold you to slavery, told your dad that you were dead, basically just took your life away, would you invite them to dinner? Well, that's what God... See, that's what I want you to remember. This is God talking through Joseph. It is not Joseph talking. Christians need to learn that God can talk through you if you'll just shut up. I know what Joseph wanted to do. He just did it. Remember we read. He threw them all in jail for 3 days and said, "I got to let you out because I'm afraid of God."
Yeah.
In other words, this is what I want to do, but God's got a different plan. All right, verse 17. Then the man did as Joseph ordered, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. One of the things that sin causes is you're afraid of everything. You're getting invited to basically the king's house for a king's meal, and you're afraid. That's what sin does. If anybody ever says around you is, "I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that," they are not Christians. They have not met a God that gives security. Because salvation comes with security. And they said, "It is because of the money which was returned in our sacks the first time that we are brought in, so that he may seek an occasion against us and fall upon us and take us as slaves." What did they do to him? Did they sell him as a slave? So that's what they expected done to them. That's another thing that sin will do to you. Unforgiven or unrepented sin will cause you to expect the same thing back, only more.
Yep.
Righteously so if you don't seek forgiveness. Not only are they going to take them as slaves, they're worried about their donkeys as slaves. Can you believe that? Verse 19. When we drew near to the steward of Joseph's house, they talked with him at the door of the house. And said, "Oh, sir, we indeed came down the first time to buy food." If they couldn't get their message through to Joseph, maybe Joseph's guy that's over the house, maybe they'll listen. "But it happened when we came to the encampment that we opened our sacks, and there each man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, so we had brought it back in our hand." How many times have you thought that finding extra money was a curse? Well, they did. It just worried them silly that they had money. Now, I know a lot of Christians that do that.
Yeah.
Man, I've seen Christians that will turn down a blessing in the New York second. They can find extra money in their bank account, and they'll start searching their bank account to find out how they can give it back. Where did this come from? It shouldn't be here. I got to get rid of it. Well, how in the world is God ever going to bless you with anything?
That's right.
When I was going down the street and I found a $100 bill, I got to find some place to give it away because it couldn't be God. Well, if it can't be God, then we recognize that God is not a God of blessing, therefore I will not be blessed.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I made a contract deal. I did that. I was going to do that for $100, and that guy gave me $150. I got to give that $50 back. Maybe he wanted to bless you. Y'all don't agree with some of this, I can see, and I don't care. I'm going to take my blessings wherever they come from.
Yeah.
Verse 22, and we have brought down other money in our hands to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks. Let me just go back for 1 second. Didn't you know most Christians have a hard time working for profit? They forget that their God owns the whole world, propagated a race of people that wants every one of them to serve Him. His riches are counted in souls. He made this world for a profit. And it wasn't going too well, so He sacrificed His only begotten Son at that moment so that His profit would be greater.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, so He could have more souls. We go bid jobs. Your biggest tendency when you bid a job is to bid it cheap, because surely you don't want to cheat those people. They go to Starbucks and pay $5 for a 50-cent cup of coffee, and they're worried about getting cheated.
That's right.
Or cheating somebody. Nope. Set a price on your head, sell your head. That's what you should do if you're a contractor. This is what I work for, and I'm not working for a penny less. And I don't care if it's $1,000 a day you're supposed to get, and it's 20 days, $20,000, and I'll do the job. Well, what if God wants you to bless those people? He won't talk through you. He'll tell me.
Right.
Are you worth anything?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think God says so. I think you ought to believe it.
Amen.
Verse 23. But he said, who said? The master of the house. Yeah, it wasn't even Joseph. See, there's something going on in this house, and I'll show you later. It even affects Pharaoh. Watch this. But he said, peace be with you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. It wasn't Joseph said that. And he didn't take the blame or the credit. He said, God, it's been taking care of you. Wait a minute. He's in Egypt, isn't he? He's probably an Egyptian, right? Well, something's happened. Something's happened. This guy couldn't hang around Joseph without getting changed. Joseph was in the land of Egypt taking over Egypt. He wasn't in the land of Egypt getting taken over.
That's right.
Then he brought Simon out to them. So the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys feed. Then they made the present ready for Joseph's coming at noon, for they heard that they would eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed down before him to the earth. What was the dream? They would bow down before him. This isn't the first time, and it's not going to be the last time. I think God is going to imprint on their minds forever that they will do whatever God says, even if it comes in the form of a dream.
Yes.
Then he asked them about their well-being and said, is your father well? The old man of whom you spoke, is he still alive? And they answered, your servant our father is in good health. He is still alive. And they bowed their heads down and prostrated themselves. Again. I don't think Joseph was saying, as soon as you answer my questions, bow again. You know what this was about? This is about a setting of things right and straight that God does.
Amen.
You remember they repented and said, we did wrong? We did wrong to Joseph? They don't know it's Joseph yet, but they're making amends whether they want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
God causes that to happen. We need to expect it once in a while.
Yes.
Verse 29, then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Now his heart yearned for his brother, so Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep, and he went into his chamber and wept there. A couple of things I want to remind you of. Remember I said you need to get tough?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joseph is being tough. He's not doing what his body or his emotions want to do. He takes those things in the back room and he gets them out of his system and he comes back and he's being the ruler again.
Yep.
We need to learn that. You don't yield to emotions. Second, Joseph has so trusted God that he's full of forgiveness even when nobody's asking him for it. You can't know God and not be ready to forgive at all times. I'll say that again. You cannot know God and refuse to be ready to forgive at all times. You have not met God intimately if some of that hasn't rubbed off on you, that forgiveness stuff. How many different ways do I need to say that? There is a word, God. It means forgiveness.
That's right.
There is a word, God. It means salvation.
Yes.
You can't know that person and not know that.
Amen.
You can't sleep with that person, eat with that person, walk in the cool of the day with that person of God and not get some of that on you.
That's right.
It's showing here to Joseph, through Joseph. His heart yearned for his brother. Now there's two emotions going through, or there's two things happening through Joseph right now. Did his younger brother ever do anything to Joseph?
No.
So who does his heart yearn for? Who did he say God be gracious to?
His younger brother.
So he still had a little bit of that other in him, right?
Right.
He's still focusing total forgiveness to the one that didn't do anything to him. Kind of like you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to put flesh on Joseph. He's not some kind of a person that you and I could never be like.
Right.
But he's taking all of his emotions and he's containing them. Then he washed his face. He came out. He restrained himself and said, serve the bread. He went back in the room. He cried his heart out. He washed his face and said, let's eat. Can you guys do that? Or you want to have a pity party? You want everybody else to cry with me? Verse 32. So they set him in a place by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination to the Egyptians. This is how the world thinks. You can run my country and prosper me, but I can't eat with you. Did I mention Islam? It sounds familiar a little bit. Crazy, insane, stupid. Who's funding terrorism right now?
The United States.
We're paying for it. They're doing this stuff off of our riches. If you could talk sanity to terrorists, Saudi Arabia is a terrorist state. I don't care. They're selling us oil, they're taking that money, and they're propagating terrorism. Let's just for a minute, if terrorists could take over, they got the whole world now, who are they going to make money off of? So they're going to fall.
Maybe the Chinese or the Russians.
They're as wise as Hitler. They're brothers and sisters in a war. That's who they are. They're foolish, without knowledge, without wisdom. Here are the Egyptians showing us the same thing before the terrorist. We're up here. You're down here. You've caused us to eat forever and prosper, but we can't eat with you because we're better. And you need to remember, that's what Islam says.
Yes.
You low down pieces of crud, you need to be slaughtered because we're so good. I hope this tape ends up in a few hands, makes some people mad. Verse 33. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. Why is that? He answers that a little later. See if you can catch it. And he took servings to them from before him, but Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. And Benjamin hadn't got a clue. Now, he's not like Patrick. He doesn't get five helpings in one. He just got five helpings. I mean, somebody walked up and served him five times more than everybody else. And, of course, all the other brothers are going, what's going on? And Joseph's got a smile on his face. It's for me to know and you to find out, right? Genesis chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the mouth of his sack. Number two. You've got to get this one now. And also put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and his grain money. So he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Now, I need to ask you something. God's will is a trip. Could you all make the trip? Because what we see now is what most Christians would say, something a little underhanded. Right? Put my silver cup in the youngest one's sack with his money. Why would he do that? It can't be a righteous plan, Patrick. This is sneaky. Let's find out why. As soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys, and when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Well, this can't be God. Is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. Now, you know what I am thankful for, and I'm going to tell you point blank. I'm thankful that when I stand in judgment, I don't stand under Christian judgment because they don't understand squat. They don't understand anything. When God tells you to do something, now you listen to me carefully. When God tells you to do something that may not seem exactly kosher, you like that word, to the Christian community, don't call it unrighteous.
That's right.
Or you're trying to crucify Jesus again. Mm-hmm. You do not have the right to judge God.
That's right.
He's always right. Well, what if this was Joseph? Okay, so it's all Joseph now and it's evil. God promised to turn what was meant for bad to good. So now what's your platform? Now what judgment are you going to use? Now, did you hear what I just said? I've taken away all right to judgment. If you just can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, thou shalt not lie applies right here. Okay, maybe he's saying what God said. Now, it's not a lie. Or maybe what he meant for bad, God's going to turn to good. What did we read God's purpose to be in chapter 50? To save all men alive. What is happening here? Let's find out. So he overtook them. He spoke to them these same words. And they said to him, "Why does my Lord say these words? Far be it from us that your servants should do such a thing." What did they do to Joseph? What did these self-righteous, upright citizens do to Joseph? "Oh, far be it from me to do something like that. Look, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the money which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then could we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house?" Well, how could you steal the son from your father's house?
Yes.
See, sometimes you don't get the right answer unless you ask the right question. Verse 9, "With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves. With whomever of your servants it is found, let him die, and we also will be my Lord's slaves." Now, do you remember what happens if the only son that Jacob has dies? There's several things. One of them, Reuben's had pledged his children to die. But the father said, "I'll die if you don't bring him back." Remember? Then they also pledged, "We will be my Lord's slaves." Which is what they sold Joseph to be. In other words, Joseph a slave, we'll be his slave. And they said it. What did the man say? And he said, Now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my slave, and you shall be blameless. Verse 11. Then each man speedily let down his... They are so sure of the innocence. They quickly put down their sack to the ground, and each opened his sack, so he searched. Look, he began at the oldest. See, television isn't the first one that invented drama.
Right.
He opened each sack, began with the oldest, and left off with the youngest. And the cup was found in the Benjamin sack. Imagine that. And they tore their clothes. Each man loaded his donkey and returned to the city. So Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house, and he was still there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said to them, "What deed is this you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I can certainly practice divination?" Now, you remember I asked you before? I told you there'd be something proved here. See, Joseph is telling him, "I've been reading your mind the whole time. Don't you know I can do that?" Well, no, they didn't know that. What's Joseph doing? He's building his power in their eyes. They still don't know it's Joseph. By the way, you do know that divination is not a good word.
Amen.
It's a bad word. He said he could practice divination. Did you know you can practice divination?
Yes.
Well, evidently you didn't know that. You can practice divination. My wife tries every once in a while. She tries to read my mind. She tries to predict the future. Tries to influence a little bit. Nah, she couldn't. We all do that.
Yes.
Verse 16. Then Judah said, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of your servants, how we are, my Lord's slave, both we and he also with whom the cup was found." Now listen. Another part of salvation, our repentance, is that we must acknowledge we are without hope. There is no way out. We have self-defense mechanism that kicks in no matter what. We will always defend ourselves and always blame somebody else. When we find out that there is nobody else to blame and there is no other way out, then we're truly into repentance. verse 17. But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be my slave. And as for you, go up in peace to your father." All right, now what is the plan? It just revealed. What is the plan?
Get Jacob
to Egypt.
What?
How are we going to do that?
There.
We're going to keep Benjamin because he stole the silver cup. Now do y'all see how simple the plan is? But that's deceiving. No, you're trying to be a judge.
That's right.
That's God's will being done. I'm glad you're not the judge.
Amen.
As for you, go up in peace to your father. Then Judah came near to him and said, "Oh, my lord, please let your servant speak a word in my lord's hearing, and do not let your anger burn against your servant, for you are even like Pharaoh." Huh. In other words, what you say is going to happen. "My lord asked his servant, saying, 'Have you a father or a brother?' And we said to my lord, 'We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age. And who is young, his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me, that I may set my eyes on him.' And we said to my lord, 'The lad cannot leave his father, for we should leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. But you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face anymore.'" Now, that is no grace. This is surely, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. That don't sound like Christian to me. Y'all ever been told that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you haven't, you haven't pushed hard enough. You haven't stood for some things. They said, they gave him a real good sob story. Man, it's a Kleenex jerking sob story. And he just said, "Nope, going to be my way no matter what." "So it was, when we went up to your servant, my father, that we told him the words of my lord. And our father said, 'Go back and buy us a little food.' But we said, 'We cannot go down. If our youngest brother is if our youngest brother is with us, then we will go down.'" In other words, he said, "You can't go." They said, "We can't go unless we have our younger brother. 'For we may not see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us.' Then your servant, my father, said to us, 'You know that my wife bore me two sons, and one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. But if you take this one also from me, and calamity befalls me, you shall bring down with my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, since his life is bound up with the lad's life." You know what's going on here? What you guys do. If you don't like the answer, you just talk some more. Because surely I'm so persuasive that who I'm talking to, I'm going to convince them that I'm right. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? It's called self-defense. I'm the winner. Surely you understand I'm the wisest. Surely you understand my position. Surely, surely, surely. I think just fine, surely. Since his life is bound up in the lad's life, it will happen, when he sees that the lad is not with us, that he will die. So your servants will bring down the gray hair of your servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. Servant. 32. For your servant became surety for the lad to my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave. Let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brother. For how shall I go to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that will come upon my father?" I tell you, this is a tearjerker. This is a good story. It's a good story. Man, it's got every aspect of heart tugging. Even to the point where I'll sacrifice myself for this young man. Could you just let him go? That's got to touch somebody. And it did. You know why? Well, first, let's read the next verse. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. How come now Joseph's heart was touched? He can see repentance. Joseph could see repentance. Up until now, it was just wordy, blah, blah. He can see repentance now. He can see that they care about their father so much that one would be a slave to keep his father from dying. He's protecting a young lad who was not involved in Joseph's being sold as a slave. Do you understand? Repentance causes you to lay your life down for somebody. People can see that. Joseph saw it. He made himself known to his brothers. In verse 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Dismayed here means trembled. They were anxious. They were fearful in his presence. They are now standing before the man that owns the world, has them in the palm of his hand, and they deserve death. Now, we're going to stop here. We're not going to stop talking. We're just going to stop going. So we're going to make a mark there. Now, let me tell you why. Because that's where every one of us needs to be in the form of repentance, in the life of repentance. We need to be standing before the one that owns the universe. And we need to know that we deserve death. We need to know that we were guilty. That we've sinned. That we've committed wrong. I've told you this before. Let's remind you. Who do we sin against?
God.
The owner of the universe, right? And we're standing before Him. We're standing before Him. He has now revealed Himself to us. Isn't that what repentance is?
Yes.
He has revealed Himself to us in a form of weeping. They weren't weeping. He was. Why? Because He knows the predicament that they're in. Does He not have the feeling of every one of our feelings?
Yes.
Does He not know when we've come to the end of ourselves? That we've reached no way out position. Part of repentance, listen to me carefully, and I don't want you to get mad at me, but part of repentance is when we cause our God to weep.
Yes.
Not for sadness, but for joy.
Amen.
Because we've arrived at the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
We've come to the position where we've fulfilled. Man, we have found out we were wrong. We have admitted we were wrong. We feel so wrong we don't ever want to do it again. Now, one more thing. They did not know he was Joseph. Do you know that most sinners in their repentance process do not know it's God?
Uh-huh.
They get so depressed sometimes that they want to commit suicide. When it's God, right at that moment, tugging at their hearts. Joseph, God, coordinated everything for this particular moment when they can repent openly in front of Him. You hear what I'm saying? What is God's will in your life? What is God's will in the world's life? That all may be saved. And so He orchestrated, Joseph, God, orchestrated, planned, put you in places that made you uncomfortable. You got caught with a silver cup. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You shouldn't be sad about circumstances. You shouldn't be worried about those that are accusing you and bringing you to places where there's no way out. You should thank God that you're beginning to walk up in front of a God that wants you to bow so He can speak softly to you, so He can provide for you and give you life. Amen? Stand with me. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord. I am so thankful for the revelation of this word. I'm so thankful. I've told a couple of you, I'm going to tell all of you this morning, the revelation that was strong to me about God saying, He wanted to save the whole world alive. In the context of studying Joseph, was that I know, even in members of my own family, just like this. I don't know how I can be so stupid, Harry. Last week, God said, there's going to be some people, and I'm not going to, you know one of them, that's going to come and bow, and you're not ready. You're not ready to forgive. You're not ready to be in the position of a Joseph. You know I'm going to do it. That's what he said. You know I'm going to do it, but you're not ready for it. You can't handle it. Don't you think God is good?
Yes.
That he can, as I'm studying the word to give to you, he speaks to me in a directive, which is get ready. Get ready. Now come on. I'm not talking to a room full of sinners. And I'm surely not talking to a room full of saints. I'm talking to a room full of people that have done wrong and have been done wrong. And you need to be forgiven and you need to be prepared to forgive.
Yes.
Is that right? Because I can promise you in every one of your lives there's things back there that you need to be forgiven for. You haven't forgiven yourself. And then there are people back there that have done you wrong that one day you're going to walk up and look in their eye and you need to be ready to smile and say, let's eat.
Man.
Years ago, when I was still in Corpus in a church down there, not preaching, just going to the church, God put it on my heart years ago, don't ever let your heart be in a place where you want to sit down and have dinner with somebody. Now, all of a sudden, last week, God says, maybe time. Are you ready? Now, let me tell you the last part of this statement. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You have no guarantee of tomorrow. You may be bowing eternally. You may be bowing at the king's foot. Now, is he going to smile at you? Or is he going to say, depart from me, I never knew you? That's what you need to be ready for right now. Right now. If you're not there, I would invite you to come and let us pray with you. We can't forgive you, but we can lead you into some things that will cause forgiveness. You need to have to know that you have an opportunity now to make things right. That you can walk in forgiveness. That means your life is forgiven. Therefore, you can offer others forgiveness. Or you can stay in that snob position where it's evil and it's wrong. You don't have any peace, you don't have any joy, and you won't give any to anybody else. That's your two choices today. I'm going to say it to you again. You have wronged people. And there is no forgiveness. You have been wronged, and there is no forgiveness. As long as it's people to people, there is no forgiveness. But I promise you, for your wrongs, God offers you forgiveness. And for those that have wronged you, He's asking you to offer them forgiveness. That's a good God. That's a good God. Get it right with God today. Get it right. Come to the point of admitting you're totally wrong, you've done wrong, and you've been wronged. Come to the point that there is no way out except God. In your spirit, fall on your face. Admit, and then let it loose. Let it loose. God's in control. You can't lose. You can't lose. God's in control. God's not a loser.
That's right.
He'll cause your sins to be forgiven. That means all of those things that were wrong, you've done wrong in your life, He'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. Those people that have sinned against you, that's the way you say it. He'll release you from that because that's dragging you down. And He'll prepare that time and that place where those that have sinned against you will bow to you. How? I don't know how. I'm not going to practice that. I'm going to tell you that God's will is that all be forgiven. Those that have done wrong, those that have been done wrong. Praise you, Lord. If you'll just say those things that I've spoken to you, say them to God. Just say them to God and believe what I'm telling you. Believe what the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, that there's light and there's no more tunnel. Praise you, Lord. God, I thank you for visiting me in a dark hour. And I thank you that I will be prepared in Jesus' name to weep with those that are asking for forgiveness. Not to act like a judge, but to act like my heart has been touched by forgiveness. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All hearts clear? All hearts clear? Let's keep something clear in our hearts that if God wants everybody saved, you should too. It should be a supreme desire in your heart. That means you can't hold grudges against people because you want them saved. Let's keep our hearts clear for God's will to be done by keeping our hearts clear. Act like God. Think like God. You can do this one. Just speak close.
Okay. Interesting that we're studying Joseph, and I had a person named Joseph in my life who hadn't really treated me right.
Amen.
To the point of when I paid his rent, I stuck his rent in cash underneath the landlord's door, and he even stole from his own rent money one time. And I, every once in a while, I guess maybe every 5 months or something, this guy calls up and says, "Do you have a job or whatever?" And I just don't normally have much for him to do, so I put him off. But I've been praying about something that needs to be done, and that's wax my car. So he just happened to call. Last week, and I said, "Okay, you can come over and wax my car, and I'll pay you for that." Well, so I said, Saturday would be the day, and Saturday came, and he calls, and he says, "Well, now I don't have a ride there." Well, that wasn't part of the deal. And I said, "Well, you know, if I smell alcohol in his breath, he ain't coming to my place, you know, I'm not going to pay him, you know." But God did even give me grace in that because I had 5 free bus tickets, you know, because the main reason he needed to come work is because he needed a way to get to work. So God had a plan to give grace out even then. But when I got there, he didn't have alcohol in his breath. And I was able to make it real clear to him, I ain't going back to my old life. You can show up at my door drunk and you'll get a free meal and a free place to stay called jail because I'll call the police. But he came over, he did a great job, and I was able to bless him again. And praise God. God really worked this out, and it was even through something that Stan said that even helped it happen. So I'm going to just give praise God to just praise God.
Amen. I wonder who that was for, Patrick. You think it was for him? Okay. I would have thought that had been for me, because if it had been me, I'd have said, no, you owe me so much money now, wax my car. So if I would have done that, I know it would have been God. And I might have. I don't know. You just do what God tells you to do. You hope. Amen? One more time. Our heart's clear. I promise you this. Nothing will kill you quicker than unforgiveness.
That's right.
Unforgiveness is you either haven't been forgiven or you haven't forgiven somebody else.
Right.
Either one, it's death. I didn't say you had to like everybody.
Right.
I wouldn't be so stupid. You don't have to like everybody. You don't have to like their lifestyles. You can choose to stay away from them, but you need to choose why you stay away from them.
Yep.
If it's because you hate them, wrong reason.
Yep.
If it's because that you don't want to get involved in that lifestyle, that's okay. That is your obligation.
Yes.
How you raise your children, how you take care of yourself. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to believe that you were touched in your hearts to the point of great change. Therefore, I'm going to speak a priestly blessing on you. You're going to be blessed because you heard the word. May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you. May He show you His favor. And most important of all, may you walk in the peace that He's given you. If you receive that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Jonathan asked me to pray for his dad that he wasn't feeling very good. That's a lie from hell, right?
That's right.
He has every right to feel good.
Right.
He has the right to. So, Father, we stand in the gap for your son. Your son that loves you. And we say to this attack that has come upon him, you're illegal.
Yes.
You're immoral.
Yes.
You suck.
Yes.
Go back to your father.
Yes.
This is a child of God that walks in the salvation and the deliverance of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The blood has done its work. The blood has done its work. He now walks in health.
Yes.
He walks in prosperity.
Yes.
He walks in deliverance. And since he's feeling a little bad, he's not walking in the strength that you've given him. So we stand in that strength.
Yes.
We're the hedge. Get away. Stay away. Don't touch him again in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
Anything else? Anyone else? All right, Father, do your work in us with this word that's come forward. And we will be eternally grateful until the day we're able to tell you face to face. In Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says,
amen.
You're dismissed.